Gull-shaped crater. A Dimension 20 Never Stop Blowing Up podfic, written by Godmarked and read to you by Fens and Marshes. Liv has always been kind of short. It's fine. It works for her, right? She's pretty, petite, has big dark eyes and full lips. It would be weird if she was tall. Girls who look like her aren't supposed to be tall. Not that there aren't tall girls who are pretty, like Jennifer had been, or like Christina from her math class last year who played basketball and had dreams of the NBA. It's just something that's not for Liv. But she had been, as Kingskin. Steven. Someone had said it was upsetting to behold her as him, broad and looming and barely managing to fit into his suit, as well tailored as it had been. Liv gets a lot of time to think about what she would do better, apprenticing at the tailor's shop, where Stephen's tailor had gone wrong, assuming the way she as he was built mirrored a regular man, just scaled up. She spends a lot of time thinking about how she had looked as him, how powerful she had felt in his skin, and the way she kind of missed it. Things are better in the real world, better than they were when she was so anxious she was stealing things she didn't want from the Walgreens. Her parents are proud of her, she's seeing Wendell every chance she can get, and she loves the tailor shop more than she's loved anything she's ever done before. Her new boss, Jacob, calls her a young'un and beams with pride whenever she does even an okay job, and Liv is content for once. But she still kind of wants more. It's a cavernous feeling in her chest, the same empty space she was trying to fill with the black nail polish and size 14 men's slippers. The craving she had hoped would be filled now that she was out of the tape and wasn't trying to be someone she wasn't anymore. So there's a missing piece to the puzzle, her proverbial brick of cocaine, a MacGuffin to help her figure it out. She brings it up to Wendell when they're sitting outside the video store during his break. "I don't know what's wrong," she admits, frustrated, and he runs a hand up and down her back. He has big hands, and Liv likes that. Likes the pressure he applies so carefully to her, but she doesn't like how small it makes her feel, a horrible contradiction that makes her throat close up, a betrayal of her brain against her body. It sucks. "It does sound like it sucks," he tells her commiseratingly. "Maybe there's something else you need to do, like Russell did when he went to Amsterdam." Liv muses on that for a long moment. "My own Amsterdam," she says softly, and Wendell grins at her. It's bright and cheesy, and Liv can't help but lean over and kiss him on the corner of his mouth. "Thanks, Wendell." He blinks, like her kiss is surprising, even though it's been weeks. His cheeks flush dark, and Liv grins back at him. "You're welcome," he tells her softly, before looking over his shoulder. "My break is almost up, but Dang and I are going to play Call of Duty after work's up. Do you want to come?" "As long as I'm not intruding on guy time," she hedges, and Wendell shakes his head. "You're one of us," he says confidently, and then blanches. "I mean, not a guy, but like, we all went into the tape," and shaking his head, he says, "You aren't a guy, but we like you," he manages eventually. Liv laughs, but it feels a little hollow. "I get it," she promises. "Not a guy, but still one of the guys?" "Exactly," he says, relieved. "I'll see you after work, then." It sticks with her. Liv doesn't want it to, would rather forget Wendell's awkward stumble and go about her day, but there's something that eats at the edge of her brain. "Not a guy," Wendell had said. Which is true. Liv's a girl. Liv was born a girl and has stayed a girl for all 18 years of her life, and she's never felt bad about being a girl, so she clearly isn't anything else. Except Stephen's body had felt more like home than hers ever had. When she was crushing skulls under her massive, plate-sized hands, there had been a sense of correctness to her movement that had felt so natural. Liv thinks about it, at work, during the walk to the video store, in the passenger seat of Wendell's car as he drives them to Dang and Russell's house. Dang has been doing 1 week in Lake Elsinore, 1 week in Los Angeles, back and forth while he works with Wolfman Ann on making a name for himself. It's nice when he's back and they can hang out, simply existing in each other's atmosphere in a way that would feel awkward with just about anyone else. She leaves Wendell and Dang to their call of duty while she lounges on the couch and continues to think. Want a hit? Dang offers her his blunt, and Liv accepts, inhaling smoke contemplatively. She doesn't even smoke that much, but the high hits her all the same, body going loose-limbed and relaxed against the couch. Hey, she says eventually, do you think I was hotter as Kingskin? There's a silence so loud it's deafening, Wendell and Dang trading loaded looks. Dang, Dang says, rubbing at his jaw. That's a loaded question, Liv. Really loaded, Wendell agrees, strangled. Why do you ask? She shrugs. I don't know, she says mulishly, looking up at the ceiling. I've just been, like, thinking, is all. About how hot you are? Dang asks, and then flinches to the side as Wendell smacks his leg. It's a valid question, he protests, and Wendell frowns at him. Is this what you were talking about earlier? Wendell asks. About your Amsterdam? Liv nods, humming a note of acknowledgement. It's not that I miss being in the tape, she manages eventually. I think I just miss being him. Eventually, Dang nods. I think I know what you mean, kinda, he tells her. I don't really miss the mortal peril, but every time I fuck something up, I'm just like, dang, I bet if I was Greg, I would have clutched it. Wendell frowns, looking between the two of them, back and forth. I don't really know what you guys mean, he tells them apologetically. There's a furrow between his eyebrows that Liv wants to smooth out, so she does, reaching for him until he obligingly puts his face in her hands. But I like you both as yourselves. But what if I... She breaks off, swallowing. Fuck. Her mouth is dry, and she doesn't even feel like a her or a her as him. She feels like a... Like a him as her. Like she's in drag all of a sudden, her denim skirt uncomfortable in how it sits on her legs, her long hair choking where it drags around her neck. What if I was a boy, he forces out, hoarse. Instead of Liv, if I was Stephen, maybe, or Alex, or Conrad, or... He rolls off the couch and into Wendell's arms, and he wraps them tight around him. Dang joins them, wrapping his arms around the both of them so that they're a little tangle of limbs on the living room floor. We would love you, Wendell says. Dang, Dang agrees. Nothing's going to change that. He cries for a little while, and he misses Doug Meat so fiercely that his chest aches. Sorry, not quite Liv sniffs. I ruined your hangout time. Nah, Dang says. Nothing's ruined. Wendell gets him a glass of water and lets not-quite-Liv sit, leaning against his shoulder, as he and Dang boot up their game again. They both talk around his name as they shoot the shit, going back and forth until not-quite-Liv's chest stops hurting so much. Eventually, it gets late enough to leave, but Dang catches him on his way out the door and pulls him into another brief, crushing hug. You're still you, he says, quietly, seriously. I respect you, Dang tells him, an echo of what he had said to Dang inside of the tape, and he sniffs. Thank you, he says, and they fist bump before heading out to Wendell's car. It's a beat-up, second-hand thing, but Wendell tends to it with a quiet care that he picked up from Vic's love of mechanics. It's quiet and a little awkward as Wendell drives them home. I'm sorry, not quite Liv says, hands tightening into fists in his lap. It's okay if you don't want to date me anymore because I'm a boy. I know that things were different in the tape because I was a girl in a boy's body and not a boy in a girl's body and I... He swallows hard. I'm not expecting anything of you, he finishes quietly. He can't make himself look at Wendell. The car jerks as Wendell swings them to the side of the road, tires squealing as he stops. He unbuckles his seatbelt and leans across the console, gripping not-quite-Liv's face in his hands and making him look at him, dark eyes meeting dark eyes. "I'm in love with you," he says roughly, face tinting scarlet. "I'm in love with you, and it has nothing to do with what body you're in or what gender you are. It's about you and who you are," and he swallows. "And I'm, realizing that I've never said that before, and this was really aggressive, and if you want to break up, we can. I wanted you to know." Not quite Liv does what he's always done when Wendell starts to lose track of his words and spiral into anxiety. He leans over, slow enough that Wendell could stop him if he wanted to, and he presses a tiny kiss to the edge of his lips. They look at each other for a long moment, eyes wide. "I love you too," he says. "Do you maybe want to make out in the back of your car?" "Fuck yes I do," Wendell says, and then it's a scramble of limbs and seatbelts as they both try to get into the back of the car. They bump their heads together, and not quite Liv laughs, tilting his head back against the leather of the seat and laughing until Wendell leans down and kisses him out of it. "I think," he says later, tugging his shirt back on as Wendell guns the engine, "that I would like to be Stephen for now." Wendell grins at him. "My boyfriend Stephen," he says. "Steve? Stevie?" Stephen laughs. "We'll work on it," he promises. Things aren't perfect, but they're okay. The road stretches out underneath them as Wendell hits the gas, sending them lurching forwards, and Stephen thinks to himself that even if everything else is complicated, he has this. Simple, sweet, and so, so good. And that's enough. The end. Thank you for listening.